Blog Talk Radio.
Unfortunately, because we don't have this devotion to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom we present to you in a bird's eye view, if you are his people, you shouldn't be compelled by your emotions to do anything. You should be compelled by the facts, the evidence, and that should direct your steps and order your ways. And that's why Cartrell and I, we have dedicated to presenting these evidentiary facts to you. Because as we can see, the evidence doesn't lie. That simply is the case with some of us. And let me jump right into the contemporary comments. And I'm somewhat saddened over these comments. A young brother, Noah Green, out of Indiana, troubled young man, feet not directed and ordered by Yah, into his feelings. Some things he said in his posting for his Instagram was concerned was true. As far as what affects us as a nation. But then he digressed into his belief system, the Crescent. And he diverges more and more and more and more. He becomes rattled because his feet are not directed and ordered by Yah. He gets deeper into his emotion. He becomes more and more mentally unstable. I'm not going to say very much. Other than this, mental illness has plagued our nation since the very beginning of our incarceration, 402 years ago. Shouldn't come as a shock to you. But the only antidote and solution for this mental illness is not falling after other gods, not leaning to your own understanding, not exacerbating your troubled minds, and taking it upon yourself to go do things that you're not directed and or ordered to do. As far as driving to the Capitol, killing a police officer, sitting in a car with a brandishing a knife, lunging at other Capitol officers, and then they have to dispatch you. That is not the answer. That is not the solution. And there is no constructive value in those futile, impotent efforts. So yes, we do need devotion. But giving that devotion, you need to learn the who, what, when, where, and or how. You need to learn the antidote. Otherwise, unfortunately, you will stay trouble-minded, leaning to your own understanding. Every man or woman doing what they want and please, and not what Yah would have them to do, and have peace of mind in doing so. That's all I have to say about Brother Noah Green out of Indiana. I'd like to say one more thing for his contemporary comments. Lieutenant Zimmerman of the Police Department of Minnesota nailed the coffin in Devin Chauvin's coffin. He nailed some nails. He said Devin Chauvin had no business in the officer's own sight, had no business on using that excessive force on Brother Floyd. And even if given that, it should have been for a short period of time until they gained control. and then turning Mr. Floyd over so he can breathe. And then when he finding out that he couldn't breathe, rendering aid then and there, not sitting on him with your hands in your pocket, with your eyeglasses on top of your head, looking all nonchalant, like it doesn't matter because it doesn't mean any damn thing to you. Yes, Lieutenant Zimmerman nailed some nails in David Chauvin's coffin and his fellow officers who assisted him in this murder of Brother George Floyd. I am. You are. If you look anything remotely like Yom Sufer Arif, you are George Floyd. Meaning, silence is complicity. Let us gain some devotion, okay, by these intensive studies. But before we do that, let me bring my brother and friend on, my fellow host, from New York City, Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, brother Yom Sufer Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you and your family also. Thank you.
I appreciate that. May he bless your family as well.
Thank you.
A lot of stuff going on. My heart goes out, you know, to the young brother that was in confusion, Noah Green.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny his name is Noah because he was talking about Samson's father, but Noah.
Right.
And we know that Samson was a little off.
Mm-hmm.
So, we wish Star, but he was a little off.
A little country.
I don't think he really had control of his life because his mother dedicated him at birth.
Right.
To be a Nazarite, and the Most High created him to vex and put fear in the Philistines, and he pretty much was a one-man army.
Right.
Noah Green, he trying to be that one-man army thing, but you can't take a car and a knife to a gunfight.
You certainly can't, Country. You certainly can't, and I'm not laughing. Believe you, fellow student, I'm not laughing at Noah Green. My heart goes out to him and his family. But considering the circumstances, Country is right. You can't take a knife to a gunfight. So you see this young brother was quite troubled and disturbed, like Cartrell indicated, alluded to the fact of Samson. The evidence doesn't lie.
And we all need some psychological therapy, which is what we're going through when we read the wisdom of our ancient fathers and the wisdom of the Most High, because we need that clear vision in a time where all of America is really in post-traumatic slave syndrome, and nobody has really addressed that.
Exactly.
Europeans have been affected by slavery, and Lord knows our people definitely have the residual effects of slavery.
Yep, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
No doubt. And the testimony of that lieutenant, Lieutenant Zimmerman, woo-wee, he was impartial, right?
But he didn't try
he broke
to say
it down like they were 4 years old.
Yeah.
And what he saw is what everybody saw, that my man used unnecessary excessive force as a first responder, which all police officers are trained, as he testified in Minnesota. His responsibility was to take care of our brother George Floyd. But instead of doing that, addressing his needs at the time, he exacerbated the situation. He made it worse. They made it better.
Exactly.
But the defense that questioned Lieutenant Zimmerman tried to discredit him when he's like the top cop.
You saw that, Cartrell.
Yeah, how you trying to discredit the top cop?
Yeah.
He's the head police officer. And if you do discredit him, then you have to discredit the whole police department.
Bingo. He's trying to make the guy look like he came in on horse and a six-shot gun, and like he was from the Wild Wild West, like he didn't know what was going on. That means I have to be certified for this stuff. I may not get out of patrolman car, but I got to know all this type stuff. I got to be certified. No, I don't get out the car no more, but I still got to be certified for everything, okay?
And he got to supervise the people that's below him.
Right.
He's a lieutenant, which
exactly.
means it takes him off the mundane jobs that the average cop got. And now he's supervising the behavior and the protocols and the policies of the police department. And his testimony was that, you know, what that cop did was beyond the policy that police officers are trained with in, in the use of deadly force.
Exactly. And Cottrell, when he said, when the prosecutor asked him, did you review the tapes and the police cams? Is anything about that scene of Mr. Floyd that justified them restraining him in that fashion and putting a knee on his neck? He said, I saw nothing, crowd included, that justified treating Mr. Floyd in that fashion. I saw nothing.
But I was talking to my son today.
Right.
And, we were reflecting on when we took martial arts. And the style of martial arts we took was judo, jujitsu, and taekwondo. So you had to know how to fall. You had to learn how to submit people, subdue people, put people in subdued positions. So we had to be, you know, like test dummies. The teacher would, like, use me to show the technique to the class. And then the class would practice the technique with each other. So when we would do that, it's like the European guys in the class, when the brothers was on the floor, there was something about a brother being on the floor and them being over us that clicked something in them where they went overboard. And I noticed it every time. You know, a European, you know, put you in a submissive hole, boom, it's like something changes in them. And then it manifests. And I seen, you know, this cop, he's 5'9", this brother's 6'3". He felt good. He got a 6'9". Monster under his knee, and he feels like he's the dominant male, the alpha male.
And and so then, like I said yesterday, he felt so elated, I suspect by that position that he held over our brother, that he wanted the community at large to see, I'm in charge here. It ain't a damn thing you can do about it. I can stay on his neck as long as I want to, when I want to do, and how I want to do it, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Now the key just keep on moaning. That's all you can do. He went off on an ego run amok, Cartrell.
And unfortunately, it scarred the young brother that really turned him in. Because in his mind, he's like, I could have avoided all of this by just, you know, swallowing this 20 and taking it myself.
Right.
He said that's what he initially wanted to do. But he didn't because he didn't want to take the loss because he would have had to pay out of his pocket. And he's a young, struggling high school, just graduated. He got his job, you know, right downstairs. So he didn't really want to, you know, jeopardize his position, so he did the right thing.
Right.
And as a result, he watched what happened unfolded, and it disturbed him greatly to this day, where he feels that he's responsible for the life of that brother.
Well, Godfrey, here's the deal. What people fail to realize, George Floyd was a very personable people person. And I'm going to tell you why. You know, the fellow that was with him tried to do the same thing, George Floyd. George Floyd may not have known what he had. But the fellow before him, he said, that guy, whatever his name was, tried to use the 20, and I saw right through it. I knew he was trying to scheme on it. But he looked like a schemer. But George Floyd just looked like innocent. And like he didn't really know what was going on. And he was likable. So when George Floyd got the cigarettes and he thought nothing of it to after the fact. And then just because of George Floyd's likable personality, it gave room to pause and maybe he don't know what's really going on, because I know he a little high. And I don't want to get him into trouble. But like he said, he second-guessed himself. And he wished he hadn't, because George Floyd didn't look like a schemer. He didn't have that persona, that aura. But the first guy did. The first guy was with the mess, because even the girlfriend said she didn't like the guy. You know what I mean? So we got to be very careful, the friends we hang out with, too. Because he could have very well, why didn't he testify? His reason for not testifying, he pleaded the fifth. And so that being said, he could have been the one that gave George the $20 bill. You know, like, you know, if George high, George ain't paying no attention. And he had George the 20, because George would count money in his pocket.
He said, well, don't get the cigarettes right there, man. I got you, George. Then give me the chain. And George not knowing, because he'll never know what George knew. And George not really paying no attention because he high. You know, he having a good time. And he go get the cigarette and go get a guy to change. And because he glad the guy, you know, taking care of business. Because George had went back there, paid money, they said, for food. That wasn't no bad deal. I think he was getting his phone worked on. I guess he paid for that. That wasn't bad. So I'm suspecting this guy he hung out with was the real perpetrator, Contrail.
And that's a good analysis because, like you said, the man you're talking about, the brother you're talking about, tried to pass off a $20 bill, a fake one, earlier. And the
right.
same young brother caught him and gave it back to him saying he ain't taking it.
Right.
And then they come back later that evening. He comes back with the brother George Floyd, and lo and behold, he got a fake $20 bill.
Right.
My thing is, how do you escalate the situation from a fake $20 bill to where a man is losing his life? He wasn't robbing a store. He didn't have a gun. He wasn't selling drugs in the store, out of the store. A fake $20 bill? Come on now.
Yeah. Why you couldn't just do the right thing and treat the man humanely? Why you couldn't come say, hey, Mr. I don't know what your name is. Will you please get out of the car? Some people say you got this bill, and they say it is not legal. So let's go check it out. Make sure the bill is on the up and up. If it's not, if you have the money, pay for it, okay? If not, I'm going to write you a citation for it. That would have been that. But you go, you came with the attitude.
You could have traced where the fake 20 came from. Where did you get this? Where did this come
right.
from?
Right. But you
How'd you get it?
But see, Contrail and fellow students, they come the way they come to all of us, confrontational, assertive, not trying to find out, get to the bottom of the situation and resolve the matter peacefully. They come for confrontation when they come toward us. Thus, the end result of Brother George Floyd.
It was an opportunity for Chauvin to test out his excessive force techniques. He saw a big
yep.
brother, 6'3", 200-something pounds. He's analyzing himself. When you look at his body cam, right, because they showed his body cam video, the first
right.
thing he does when you see his body cam video, when he approaches George Floyd, them pulling him out of the car, the first thing he does is put his hands, both his hands on his neck. I'm like, look
yeah.
at that. Wow. The first thing he does is grab him by the neck. And then they pull him out the car. If you really look closely,
yeah.
after he put his hands on his neck, they put a knee on his neck. So
right.
they say that when you're in that prone position as a first responder, the first thing you want to do is get him up or get him on his side, his
I'll
left side, because that's a recovery position.
Right.
And I'm a first responder, and that's
right.
what shocked me. These men are trained as first responders, and what they teach us is you're responsible. Once you put your hands on a victim, you're responsible until the ambulance comes and takes over. So it's your responsibility as a first responder to administer medical help until more professionals, better professionals, more wiser professionals take over where, you know, your training doesn't really help that person any more than that. But you have to be the first one that responds because you have that training. And the first thing they teach you is when somebody's prone like that, you have to turn them on their side, on their left side, which is the recovery position. Not only was he not placed on his left side, you had two grown men on his back and another man on his neck. So it was almost impossible for him to breathe and recover. And that's what he was telling them.
I can't breathe.
Yes.
I can't breathe. And then that's
the first call of help. I can't breathe. You got to clear his airways, make sure, you know, his heart is beating, that he has sufficient air. And he wasn't resistant. And like the officers say, when they put the handcuffs on you, you're basically reduced to, the threat is reduced to
right.
nothing. What, he going to kick you? The real threat is that he's going to run because he can't
right.
hit you. He can't hurt you. You trying to say can't, you know, people hurt, can't, aren't there incidents where they've been arrested and used police handcuffs to hurt the police? He wasn't in that position. Why would you ask such a question?
Exactly. But Well, Cottrell, I mean, that's the way they see us, brother. That's the way they see us.
I can imagine being his family, man. I'm watching it. I'm not George Floyd Slammy, but like you said, he is us. And you can't imagine, you know, somebody in your family, and you have to watch the video over and over again to see what they did to your family member.
Right.
And they're trying to justify what they did.
There is no justification, as Lieutenant Zimmerman said. And that white man said there is no justification for that excessive force. And Cadre, you made a statement, and I'm going to comment on this statement, then we're going to move into our studies. When a man or woman is taken into your care, you have them in your custody, you're responsible, okay? You're responsible. That's all I'm going to say about that. Cadre and fellow students, we're coming to the last book of Shofins. Some of you call it Judges. I'm giving you a correct name for it. And because there's going to be one study chapter for today, because I don't want to mix up Samuel and Shofin. We're going to end this in Cartier. We're going to move on into the last study session of this today. And then we're going to give some praise and thanksgiving to Yah, as we should, and you should too, okay? May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying of his word so you can ascertain some sort of devotion, because we certainly need it in the evidence deadline. Now, Katria alluded to the fact that the young tribe of Benjamites, were nearly wiped out to the man. Would have been 11 tribe if the 11 tribe hadn't shown some compassion for their young baby brother tribe. Now, the men of Israel had taken an oath. Now, here's what got them in the dilemma that this quadrum that they find themselves in. And that oath was, and they had to go by their word. None of us would give our daughters in marriage to a Benjamite. Man, they got 600 guys, the Israelites. We can't give our daughters because we took an oath. So what we going? We're in a dilemma. You got to be careful what you're saying coming out your mouth. Okay?
And they pretty much said that in anger, right?
Right. But even when, however you say it, Cartrell, whether or not is well thought out or in anger, you got to be careful what you said coming out your mouth, brother. Okay?
That's true. But Proverbs teaches us you got to be slow to anger and watch your words that come out your mouth. Because in anger, you're passionate, you know, you're not thinking rationally. And these brothers said this in anger against what happened in Benjamin to the Levite and his wife.
Right. And they were nearly wiped out. So the people came to Bethel. And set there before Yah until evening. They were trying to work it out in their mind. The evening. They wailed and wept bitterly because they said, man, we doggone, man, what do we do? I mean, they almost wiped out the 600 men left. Oh, Lord, we can't do that to our baby brother. Oh, what are we going to do, man? How can we remedy
this? We killing them?
Right. So they wailed. These grown men. They're like brother Macmillan over George Floyd, grown men, and they're wailing, and they wept bitterly, and they said,
"And this ain't the first time."
No, this ain't. It won't be
the last. Mentality tells you that a grown man ain't supposed to cry. We see our ancient fathers when they got in trouble, they shed tears, man. They shed tears.
Yeah, last minute. I will too, given the set of circumstances.
Hey, I'm listening to that trial, and I had to shed some tears, man.
Right. Me too, brother. Me too. And they said, oh, Yah, Elohim of Israel, why has this happened in Israel that one tribe must be missing from Israel? We can't have this. Early the next morning, the people built an altar there, and they bought burnt offering and offered a well-being. The Israelites asked, is there anyone from all the tribes of Israel who failed to come up to the assembly before the Elohim. Is anybody here that didn't come up here early on that made this oath? That's what they're trying to get at. If anybody here now that wasn't here in first quarter, that just came up second quarter, that's what they're trying to get to. They're trying to find a solution. For a solemn oath has been taken concerning anyone who did not go up to Yah at Mesah. He should put to death. So if you didn't come up here and make that solemn oath, well, you know, you good. If anybody else will be put to death, because that's what we vow. The Israelites now relented toward their kinsmen. Their hearts softened toward their kinsmen, the Benjamites. And they said, this day one tribe has been cut off from Israel. And they understood, united we stand, divided we fall. What can we do to provide wives for those who are left? Seeing that we have sworn by Yah not to give any of our daughters to them in marriage. They thought it out. They inquired. Is there anyone from the tribes of Israel who did not go up to Yah at Mesah, trying to find a solution? Now, no one from Jabesh Gilead had come to the camp. Now, no one from Jabesh Gilead had come to the camp, to the assembly in first quarter. For when the roll of the troops was taken, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was present. So the assembly dispatched 12,000 of the warriors, instructing them as follows. Go and put the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead to the sword, women and children included. This is what you are to do. Prescribe every man and every woman who has known a man currently. Contrail, these people at Jabesh Gilead, I thought for a minute they were Hebrews. When they called for their Hebrew brothers, they weren't Hebrews. They were Canaanites.
Right.
Okay. All right. So they were Canaanites. Okay.
Yeah.
They found among the
virgin women.
Okay. They had virgin women. They found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 virgins who had not known a man, carnally. They bought them to the camp of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. When the whole community sent words to the Benjamites who were in the rock, the 600, at the rock of Rimmon, and offered them terms of peace, thereupon the Benjamites returned, because they knew that when these brothers gave their words were their bond. And they gave them the girls who had been spared from the women of Jabesh Gilead. But there were not enough of them. They only had 400, and they had 600 men. So they still were in a quandary, a dilemma. Now the people had relented toward their hearts had softened toward their brothers. Yah had made a breach in the tribe of Israel. So the elders of the community, taking the lead, asked, what can we do about wives for those who are left? Since the women of Benjamite have been killed off, we killed them all. For they said, there must be a saving remnant for Benjamin, that a tribe may not be blotted out of Israel, one for all and all for one. Yet we cannot give them any of our daughters as wives, since we have taken an oath. Cursed be anyone who gives a wife to the Benjamin. Now we can't just voluntarily give them to them. Can't do that now, because we made that oath. So the elders said, okay. They said the annual feast of Yah is now being held in Shiloh. It lies north of Bethel, east of the highway that runs from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Lebanon. So here's, they instructed Benjamin as follows. Go and lie in wait in the vineyards. Now, we can't give them to you. But if you take them, I mean, what can we do about it as long as you marry them? So they said, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. Now, as soon as you see the girls of Shiloh coming out to join the dancers, come out from the vineyards and let each of you seize a wife. Now, you can't come there and get no booty call now. Gotta come get your wife. Okay? From among the girls of Shiloh. And be off for the land of Benjamin. Now, Katria, these girls are Israelites.
Yeah.
See, they couldn't give them to them. But now, if you come take them, our hands are washed in the mouth. But now, hold on. Here's the deal. You can't come get no knockoff. You can't come get no booty call. You coming, you making these women too legit to quit. Okay? All right? Let's get that
understood. Y'all
too. Yeah, go ahead.
You heard of Sadie Hawkins Day or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I know it. Yeah, Sadie Hawkins.
You know, what was Sadie Hawkins Day?
I know what it is, but break it down to me like I'm 4 years old.
I'm trying to dust off my memory. I think it was something like this, where the women came out. Huh?
Okay, hold on, Contra. We got enough time. Let me see. Sadie Hawkins Day. Sadie Hawkins Day. Okay.
According to Wikipedia, Sadie Hawkins Day is an American folk event and pseudo-holiday originated by Al Capp's classic hillbilly comic strip Lil Abner.
Okay, yeah. It is a hillbilly thing where just like our situation, they would go take a wife, sort of like. Okay, what is Sadie Hawkins Day, okay? Sadie Hawkins Day is an American folk event, pseudo holiday, originated by Al Capp's classic hillbilly comedy, Lil Abner. And where he said, women ask men for a date or dancing. Instead of the men asking the women in these activities, women ask men for a date or dance. Quite unlike our situation, Contra. I thought it was similar in nature, but it's quite unlike.
It is.
No, the women asking the men in this situation. But these,
these women are coming out to dance because they know they're going to get a husband.
Oh, so they already know what's up.
Come on, man. They ain't just coming out to dance in the field because they feel like dancing.
Well, the dad and whatnot. So hold on, y'all about that dad have a little good time and whatnot. You know the Benjamite, they're going to come and take you. You know, try to get away if you can, because we can't give you to them. But if you go out there and dance, have a good time, girl time, now the Benjamite come, you know, they take you. You're going to be legitimate wife. You ain't going to be no knockoff or nothing. They're going to take care of you because they know what's up. And the girl said, for real? I've been looking for me a husband. I like them Benjamite. You know, they'll make some good daddy left hand throwing sap suckers. Oh, I ain't going to run too fast. And when Benjamite comes, oh, I tripped and fell. Oh, my ankle.
But, you know, they had to give them the whole briefing that we took an oath that we wouldn't give them our daughter. And y'all the ones that's available to them. And we don't want to cut off our brothers, the Benjamite tribe. And they ain't some mighty men.
Right.
They some mighty men that we had the battle, and they took half our men. We took half their men. But it comes down to they need to be a part of the tribe of Israel. They need to survive. They need y'all to be their wives.
Right. And I think those women considered it an honor. Because they knew these brothers, wasn't nothing soft about them now. They knew whatever the amount of children they would have by these men, they was going to be stout men and women. There wasn't going to be nothing soft about it. And then the funny thing about it, look at this country. Canaanite blood is mixed in too.
Yeah.
400 boys of Canaanite is mixed in with the Benjamites. You know what I mean?
That's what we got to know. And how the Canaanites look? Who was they from?
Well, they look remotely like us, Katria.
That's why the Jewish man today ain't looking for the other tribes, because they know the other tribes is mixed with Canaanites.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Samson marrying Philistines, the whole tribe of Judah, Benjamin that was left, they had to marry Canaanites.
I mean, over two-thirds, Katria.
Yeah. They did marry some of the sisters from the other tribe.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of our people don't know that about our history, that the tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped out.
Exactly. Yeah, well, like you said, those
Those 200 sisters had a briefing on what was going to go down. And they probably instructed, you know, if you can run back to daddy, that's good. We're going to take care of you. But, you know, if you get a little tired, you got to rest. I can understand that. And one of them get you to take you up. You know, we're going to make sure you take care, okay? All right, baby? Okay, daddy. They ain't going to mistreat you. They part of the nation. You know, if you trip up and you can't get up, your ankle twisted or whatnot, it's going to be all right. They know the rules. Pick you up, take you home, marry you, and make you too legit to quit. You're going to be all right, honey, okay? Okay, daddy.
That is astonishing
mm-hmm.
that they were reduced down to just 600 men.
Yeah.
That's all that was mm-hmm. left that could have children. Maybe they had some elders, but the tribe is reduced down to 600 men. And we swore that we were going to give them our daughters to marry. They was in a critical situation.
Yeah, they were in a critical situation, Katya. Of extinction as a tribe.
And so, how did they get in that trouble?
By their own
They was looking at the ways of other people.
Right.
And they got caught up into the ways of the land.
Right.
And that was thrown in their side to where it almost extinguish a whole tribe.
Trying to do what other folks do. Just cause you
in our own land.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Katria, it shows those elders were pretty smart. Those elders came up with a grand system. Now, we can't voluntarily give them to them. Now, if they're out there having a little dance, girls' time, and they know where they're going to be at, well, and they catch them. We didn't get until they caught them. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, we ain't broke our oath. They went out there in the vineyard, had some girl time out.
And we ain't going to fight them. We're not going to fight them.
Right. We ain't going to follow them. We ain't going to follow them back to the land of Benjamin. We're going to give them a head start. How long we going to give? Oh, we'll give them 4 or 5 days, you know. They make it back to the land of Benjamin. Well, you know, we can't just invade their land like that, man. We let them slide now on the rest of the stuff. So you going to give them 5 days? They going to be at home before we start. That's love, though. They showed them love, unlike some of us show each other. That's what that is. They showed them love.
That's the important lesson, that they didn't want to, they were so angry, they almost eliminated the whole tribe.
Right.
They had to back off and say, damn, we can't do that.
Right.
We cannot do that. As much as our anger is towards them, for what they did,
right?
What gives us the right to eliminate one of the sons of Jacob's tribe?
Right. They showed them love and mercy, unlike what some of us show each other today. They said the annual feast of Yah is now being held at Shiloh. It lies north of Bethel. East of the highway, it runs from Bethel to Shechem, south of Lebanon. So they instructed the Benjamites and Saulites, go lie in wait in the vineyards. As soon as you see the girls of Shiloh coming out to join in the dancing, come out from the vineyard. Let each of you seize a wife from among the girls of Shiloh and be all for the land of Benjamin. And if their fathers or brothers come to you to complain, we shall say to them, be generous to them for our sake. We could not provide any of them with a wife on account of the war. And you would have incurred the gift of your own you yourselves had you given them wives. The Benjamites did as they were instructed. They took a wife from the dancers whom they carried off, as many as they themselves numbered. Then they went back to their own territory. They rebuilt their towns. They settled in them. Thereupon the Israelites dispersed east to his own tribe and clan. Everyone departed to his own territory. In those days, there was still no king in Israel. Everyone did as he pleased. Everyone did their own thing. But see, here's the deal about that, y'all. And I'm going to say this in closing before Katria goes into his commentary. We had a king. We had a king. We just didn't recognize and respect him as such. Okay? We already had a king. But we want to be like other people. That's our problem, Cartrell. We had a king. We just want to be like everybody else. And we ain't like everybody else. All right, Cottrell, what's your commentary, brother?
And our king was willing to lead us.
Exactly.
If we showed our love for him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, our people showed their love for the tribe of Benjamin, that we didn't want to exterminate them completely with only 600 men left.
Right.
And they took desperate measures to get them wives. So these men that they got them wives from in this last portion, these virgins that they took home, these men didn't make that same oath. So they were asking a favor of them. Do us a favor, because we made that oath when we went to war with Benjamin. Y'all didn't go to war with Benjamin, nor did y'all make this oath. So send your daughters so that these men could have wives. And forgive us for doing this, because you sending your daughters out to these men, and y'all not going through the formal ceremonies. They're about to take their daughters back to their territory without, like, a formal ceremony. And we beg that you allow them to do this because of the oath that we made.
Right.
And the fact that these men did that with their daughters, it showed that they love one another.
Yeah.
They love one another.
Well, they show the leniency and latitude of not official marriages as they should have been performed.
Right.
It contrary shows the love that they had for one another.
And, but I want you to read the first verse of the book of Ruth, because that's the next book that's in line. And we read that already, but it shows how it synchronizes the time period of the time when we read about Ruth and her ordeal.
Well, won't you read it for us, Katria?
All right.
Okay.
So the next book after the book of Shoftim is the book of Ruth.
Okay.
And the book of Ruth, the first chapter and the first verse, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Yehuda went to in a sojourn into the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." So we can see that Ruth lived in the time of the judges.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Thank you, Cottrell, for that tidbit of information. Very informative. Thank you. Well, Cottrell, if you're done with your commentaries, I am, and we'll move right along to our last segment of study, the Book of Proverbs.
Yes, sir. The wisdom of King Solomon. Our ancient king considered the wisest man that ever lived, and we're in the 22nd chapter of his writings. And we give thanks and praise to the Most High, honor and glory, that he bestowed our king, King Solomon, with this kind of wisdom, and he allowed him to leave it behind for us to glean and to peruse and to use as our antidote and our remedy in order for us to reconnect with our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we give thanks, honor, and praise to the Holy One of Israel for even creating King Solomon and allowing him to impart his wisdom even to this generation. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." And most people try to strive for great riches. But we know Trump got a lot of riches, but he don't have a good name. "And loving favor rather than silver and gold." So you'd rather be a person that the people love rather than be somebody that's rich that people hate.
Cottrell, let me interrupt you. I apologize. Abigail says you own 23.
23?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you, Abigail. Okay.
The 23rd book of King Solomon.
Okay.
"When thou sittest thou to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." So when you sit before rulers that have power over you, you can't show yourself to be base. You have to carry yourself with a certain protocol. "Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." So when you sit down with rulers or a king, they're going to see how you act at his table, whether you're respectful or disrespectful. It says, "Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. two important things, because people chasing riches, and we lean on our own understanding. It says, cease from your own wisdom. Do we really have wisdom that we need to survive in life, or do we need to acquire more? A wise man always knows that he needs to increase his wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. So people hit the lottery, and it doesn't last. People, you know, in sports, we see them make a lot of money and then wind up, you know, sleeping in a car. So riches are fleeting, especially if you don't have wisdom in order to retain them and keep them. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Yeah, because you sit down with somebody that don't like you, that hates you, that wants to kill you or destroy you, then you're making yourself vulnerable. It says, the morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. So beware and be mindful of who you're dealing with. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And we see that all the time when we try to respond to fools on Fool's Book. They're not looking for wisdom. They're just hating you because you're trying to bring enlightenment. So fools don't want to hear wisdom. They just want to hear more foolishness.
Amen.
Remove not the old landmarks, which people have done, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. So if the fatherless got fields that belong to them, don't try to take it from them because their father ain't there. And you trying to take advantage because you think they're vulnerable, but Yah is their guardian. So when you try to take advantage of people that have less power than you, he is always the Most High that records what you do. For the Redeemer is mighty. See, Yah's watching. He shall plead their cause with you. So there's going to be a day of judgment when you have to explain why you took advantage of the fatherless and took what little that they had. Apply thy heart unto instruction, which most of our people don't want to do. We don't want to learn. We don't want to take the time and the patience to sit down and listen to discipline and instruction because we lean upon our own understanding. What we know, we think we're good with. What we've heard, we're good with that. But to receive instruction, to be a student, that takes discipline. And then ears to the words of knowledge. So if you're a student and you're looking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you will sit down patiently to instructors or wise people who can teach you wisdom and knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. So children need discipline, what they call it, corporal and, you know, verbal discipline. And you have to give it to them because every child knows that they need discipline because a child doesn't know which direction he should go in, which is why his parents are there to guide him. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. If you don't check him, somebody else going to beat him. And you ain't trying to beat your son or daughter in order to break them. And if you don't, you know, use the rod of correction and you don't have to abuse them. I mean, you know, my father disciplined me with the rod and he didn't break me. He didn't beat me. He didn't put me in a hospital. But I knew that his chastisement was an effective means for me to change my ways early in my life. And he was trying to deliver me from walking in the wrong path so that I wouldn't end up in the hands of police officers like Derek, what's his face, who was being charged for the murder of our brother George Floyd. Because you will wind up in their hands if you violent in the streets. My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. Even mine. So you want wise children, children that grow up with wisdom, that's not being foolish, that make themselves susceptible to being caught up, you know, in the streets where people are more powerful, more mighty, and looking to destroy them and hurt them. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So you want to hear your children speak positive things, right things. You want to hear that they are linked to the Most High, that they use wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to guide their steps in life. That's what you want to hear from your children. Otherwise, you know they're in trouble. If they're talking that street talk, you know that your children are in trouble. If they're talking street talk, you haven't imparted your understanding, your knowledge, and wisdom to them.
Right.
Let not thy heart envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. These people have been sinning against us for 400 years, and we're trying to get what they got. No, don't envy what they got. They riding around in Lear jets, Mercedes-Benz, stretch limos. They living it up in Vegas. No, we don't envy that. But be thou in the fear of Yah all the day long. So more than envy what our oppressors got, we should be fearing Yah, which is what we try to do. Trying to understand Yah, we're trying to learn Yah, trying to know Yah, we're trying to find out our relationship to him and how we should walk in the earth. And that should be our focus as a people, and that would keep us out of trouble. For surely there is an end. All this comes to an end. It can't go on forever, right, Op?
Exactly.
And thine expectations shall not be cut off. So if your expectations are with Yah, and Yah is everlasting, how are your expectations going to be cut off if your expectations are aligned with the great eternal? Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. So you want your children's heart to be in the way of the Most High, seeking wisdom, seeking knowledge, seeking understanding, seeking the purpose of their lives. Why did Yah create me, and why am I here? When you find that out, trust me, you're going to find out that you are Yah's treasure. Be not among the wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. We're talking about people that get lost in their lusts and in their covetousness and in their impulses and their addictions. And people love to live in their addictions, right?
Exactly.
For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Yeah, you spend your money on drugs, you spend your money on wine, you in the streets, you're not creating a solid life for yourself, you're going to wind up in poverty. That's the end result, and we see the results, even in modern days. Filthiness shall clothe the man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begot you. Yeah, that's what we all want as fathers, right? For our children to listen to us. Because we have the experience, we have the knowledge, we have the know-how, we've been through it, and we try to impart wisdom to our children. We expect them to listen to us, right?
Exactly.
And despise not thy mother when she is old. Yeah, your mother, she may be getting senile. She may not talk like she used to talk. Don't despise her.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what she got to say, because even through her, maybe dementia, she still has some wisdom in there. Right? So you should never disrespect your mother, ever. Despise not your mother when she's old. Okay. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So don't be trying to get rich on the stock market or buy gold and silver and all that. Buy truth. And you don't have to really buy it because it's right there before you.
Right.
And don't sell it when you got it. And we got all this truth that we're sharing with our people, but we ain't like Creflo Dollar or TD Jake. We ain't trying to take advantage of our people, give us tithes and donations for the wisdom that we have partnered upon y'all.
I don't ask for no money to pay for the show. Andrea, pass the bucket around.
Oh, yeah. And don't, I won't hear no change jingling in the basket, brother. We don't want to hear no change jingling in the basket. We're going to pass it around more than one time.
Pass that plate around.
Yeah. Send your donation to KatrielYosef.com. Baby.
Yup, Safari. Oh,
so no, nah, we're not trying to sell this truth.
Nah.
And we're not really trying to buy it because it ain't really for sale.
No.
We ain't got to sell it. We ain't got to buy it. It's all for free. Trust me. And we're on that journey to like apply to ourselves. So truth goes along with wisdom, instruction, and understanding, right?
Exactly.
The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. Yes, you want all your children to be righteous, right? And he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. That's the greatest joy in life, when your children are wise. They love Yah, they love you. There's no other joy on the earth. And I when I was young, I said, Yah, there's no love on the earth. Yah said, yeah, I got something for you. And when I had children, I knew exactly what he was talking about. Because that's unconditional love. Unconditional.
Right.
And you hope and pray that your children grow up strong, wise, and safe. And that's my prayer to Yah, that the children that he's given me grow up strong, wise, connected with him, and safe. So far, so good.
I concur with you on that, Country.
The father, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. So I pray, Most High rest her soul, and my father, Most High rest his soul, I shall pray that they are glad in the works that they put in me, because I hope that I have represented them well.
Amen.
My son, give thine ear and let thine eyes observe my ways. And me, that's what I do with my father and my mother, because both of them gave me great wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful for the parents that I was given. They were very responsible, and they made sure that I had discipline. So I'm so grateful to Yah for my parents. For a hole is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. And now Gates is caught up. He messing with whores and strange women underage. Now your man is in a deep and narrow pit. She also lieth in wait for a prey and increases the transgressors among men. So brothers that's out there, men in power, men on the streets, a woman can take you down. Just ask Bill Cosby. Ask OJ. Ask King Solomon. Ask Adam. Ask Shimshon. And the list goes on and on and on. So y'all think you're bigger and badder than women? Trust me, brothers out there, or your male partners out there, a woman can bring you down.
You know, contrary to like this a representative from Florida, Gats. Exactly.
So you have to find a man of God, and you have to find a woman of God. Because if you find a woman that up to no good, you in trouble. It says, woe, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, and who hath redness of eyes. That sounds like all of us. We have woes, we have sorrow, we have contentions, we babbling, we have wounds without cause, and our eyes are definitely red.
Right.
They that tarry at the wine, and they that seek mixed wine. And many of our people are caught up in all their addictions. It's beyond wine now. It's crack. It's methamphetamine. It's oxycodone. It's angel dust. It's PCP. What? Yo, it's beyond wine now, right?
Yeah, opioids.
There you go. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it's given his color in a cup, when it moveth itself all right. So you get addicted by the intoxication of the spirits, the drinks. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yeah, you're caught up in that street life, that world that's so hard to get out.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, Carter, let me verify what you just read. Let me confirm that. When Yum Soup used to be in the cups, Yum Soup would walk into a bar. Yum Soo would look at this woman, other women walking to the bar. Yum Soo hadn't got into his cups. Yum Soo would say, oh, hell no. After about two or three cups, Yum Soo said, oh, hell yeah. So, I'm confirming what Cottrell just read. It is true. It is so true.
Blame it on the alcohol.
You ain't lying, bro.
Yo, I told you I got drunk one time, and I said I'll never do it again. That's such a terrible feeling. I could never understand why people like to get drunk.
Right. I would wise.
After my first time, throwing up, puking, the stuff coming through my nose. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that no more. I'll get my little sip on, get my little buzz. Once I got the buzz, that's it, baby. I'm good.
Well, I would wise as you was
back. But I tried wisdom contract. Because I'm going to tell you, Tuesday I come in the bar. Well, hey, mister, you want to talk? Hey, lady, get on my face, you ugly self. And then I had about four or five cups. I just said, you are so beautiful.
Wish you had you then.
And strange women. Yeah, everything I hope of. Everything I need. You are so beautiful to me.
Hey, listen, there be some women on the bar scene, man, that be, like, lovely.
But it's some.
At the after-work parties, man?
Yeah, but it's some. Not so lovely. But after four or five drinks, they get very lovely.
Yeah. And you wind up in a trick bag.
Man, what you say?
Yep, it says yay. Thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. You don't even know you at. You ain't got no bearing.
So
he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You ain't supposed to be lying down at the top of a mast. You supposed to be at the lookout. What you doing lying down at the top of the mast? That's the highest point in the ship. You lying down up there?
That would have felt like, Cadre. Telling my business, Cadre. That would have felt like.
Man, that ain't a good feeling. And then you wake up, and it says, they have stricken me. You done got beat down. Shalt thou say? And I was not sick. And they have beaten me, and I felt it not. When you're that, on that level, you can't even feel a beat down.
I did.
I was sick yet again. And even though you went through all of that, you're going to try to go out there and get more wine, more crack, more heroin, no matter what you had went through the night before.
Yeah, because when I wake up, I thought I slept in the zoo. Man, somebody left a pet gorilla in the bed.
Man, you should write a book, Ock.
Hey, look here. In contrast,
life of Jan Su for R.A.
And you go right back to the same madness.
Yeah.
You wake up with a baby gorilla, and you go right back to the same madness. They ain't lying, Contrail.
So, our great king, King Solomon, who they say is the wisest man to ever live, what did he say? He said, there's nothing new under the sun, which is why we go through his words, because human nature is the same back then and today. It has not changed. And he's given us the keys to help us change our characters, which is so hard to do, because changing yourself is the hardest thing to do. But the more you read King Solomon and wisdom, it gives you ability to check yourself. Not only to check yourself, but to see others as well.
Yeah, check yourself or you wreck yourself and wake up with a baby gorilla, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So King Solomon didn't lie. He knew what he was talking about. I don't know where he got that information from, but maybe just observing human nature. But that brother was right on point, Cartier, okay?
Yes. That's why we give thanks every night to be able to read the wisdom of the wisest man that ever lived. Our King, King Solomon.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Well, Cartier, you have any praise or thanksgiving you like to give? You know, this family night. It's a family affair.
Yeah. Fly on a family stone. We know stones are so much an intricate part of our history.
Right.
Yah is our rock, our redeemer. And we give praise and thanks that even in these times of desperation and chaos and mayhem and confusion and illusion, that he gives us the wisdom of King Solomon to get our bearings straight. We don't have to listen to the philosophers of the European man because they off. And we have our own forefathers' wisdom that we can lean on and get strength from and understand our mission and our purpose. So I give thanks to Yah for allowing us that he left the antidote for us. And we have no excuse because he tells us we need to study, we need to learn, we need to have discipline and instruction. Even in our wisdom, we need to get wiser. There's no end to receiving wisdom. So as wise as you think you are, there's more wisdom to get. And we give thanks and praise to Yah that he's allowed us this platform to even spread his word to the four corners of the earth, where our people are scattered and even other nations can hear his word that's really not being presented in mass media or anywhere else, but right here on Real Talk for Real People, Real Talk for Real People, Block Talk Show, Torah Yah. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the nation of Israel. Thank you for allowing us to reflect on what our ancient fathers did and where they went wrong. And we ask you to forgive us and forgive them for not understanding, you know, our purpose as a nation.
Hallelujah. I'd like to simply thank God for his tender mercy that he's displayed toward us and that our brothers exemplified and his last study that they displayed toward one another, their tender mercy. And that is something that we should be trying to emulate, the tender mercy that Yah displays toward us and that we should display toward one another and other nations, tender mercies. I'm grateful for the brothers and sisters that listen to the Real Talk for Real People Show, not only listen, but apply their studies, their antidote to them. Also for other nations that have taken our counsel, also that are tired of what's going on under the auspices of universal white race supremacy. They want something different. They want something new. They want something better. They want something that should have been instead of what is mess under universal white race supremacy. Well, I'm thankful for them listening to the Real Talk for Real People Show. I'm thankful for Cartrell, Abia. I'm thankful for this platform that we're able to give a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, our founding fathers, our philosophers, our kings, and so on and so forth. I'm grateful for everything I am, everything that the Most High would have me be, and I'm thankful for him directing and ordering my step and me not leaning to my own understanding and keeping me to preserve my mind so that I don't fall into this nonsense, this insanity, that I don't become mentally unstable and run to capitals or whatever just to simply express myself to no end result. All praises to Yah. Abiyah, do you got anything to say if you hit your mic, man, Miss Lady? If you ain't got nothing to say. I guess you thankful for Pop. Pop got a new car. And Gregory, since you ain't going to say it, I'm going to say it for you. Abiyah is thankful for Gregory, his little brother, her little granddaughter. She thankful for Pop getting a new vehicle. Abiyah thankful for Cartrell. She thankful for Young Sue. She thankful for the Real Talk for Real People Show, that she can give some intensive study, that she can apply this study to her life, and so on and so. Did I miss something, Abiyah? Yeah, is she thankful for the food she eat, the sleep she lie down, and the Most High gives her peace and peace of mind in the morning? Okay, well, I guess she don't need, well, you never talk for a woman, Cartrell. See, you get to talk, they'll shut you down real quick. All right. Abiyah, may the Most High bless you.
We love our sisters. We love y'all. Daughters of Zion. Abiyah,
may the Most High bless you. We want to know little brother's name.
Yeah, she ain't told the baby's name.
I didn't even find out yet. I was just glad that the baby arrived.
She was called a baby.
Yeah.
All right, now, look, Young Sue, I don't have nothing hard for you. But Young Sue, you said it at the end. Don't ever speak for a woman. Don't do that. Because although I concur with everything that you said, let me say it myself. I think Young that he has done for me and my family, and I thank him for all he has done for you and Brother Cartrell and everyone else that's out here on this land that he intended for us to be here. I just thank him every day, constantly, 24/7. I wouldn't have no other God but him.
Amen.
So I just want to say, Y'all have a blessed weekend and shalom.
Shalom, Abia. Thank you very
shalom.
Much. Shalom. Well, Katria, like I say, you never speak for a woman. She'll shut you down real quick. Look here.
You be stepping in dangerous territory, yeah.
You see me shut up real quick, didn't you? You see me in center. Yeah, I know what it's bad cup and be quiet. Look here. hey, Katria, before we go, what about Yim Yahoo? How he doing and his family?
Yim Yahoo's doing very well. He bought land in Hawaii, bought some land in New York, trying to help out to have alternatives and options, you know,
right.
to our own, you know, to get back to the land and be reintroduced to the earth. So
right.
he's thing, but he's hard to keep up with because his spirit, I mean, is always constantly on the move. So
right,
the Most High got him on the move, and we pray
right.
that the Most High protects him and keep him. And bless his works that he's doing in behalf of the nation. But he's pretty diligent, you know, in doing what he's doing.
Well, whenever you speak to him, let him know Yom Suf asked about him. Yom Suf said, may the Most High bless him and his family. We love him, and I hope he's doing well, okay?
And I want to throw a shout out there to Ima Hadora, Sister Wendy Pettis. Who we haven't heard from in a little while. I pray that she's well. The Most High is with her and blessing her. I also pray for Brother Raya, who we haven't heard from in a while. I know he does his diligent work with the young brothers. And I hope that the Most High continue to bless and be with him. Sister Judith, Sister Zalima, anybody we've been in contact with in the past, we pray that Yah is blessing and being with them.
Yeah, because we have to exercise tender mercy and kindness toward one another under whatever circumstances. Okay, and Cartrell is certainly right. Well, Cartrell, fellow students, now Cartrell and I don't know much. That's why we study. And we suggest you do the very same thing. They said that it doesn't stop until the casting drop, far as we're concerned. A wise man becomes wiser, meaning that they continue, or women continue to study. It doesn't stop till the casket drop. Now, as I said, Katria, I don't know much, but we do know this for certainty. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. I want to thank you, fellow students, for traveling with us to get a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. I want to thank Katria for his due diligence and assistance with helping put on these studies. I want to thank Sister Abia for keeping us on point and on track. Because sometimes Cartrell and I get off track, she gets us right back, or she engineers us right back onto the track. We're very grateful for her. We want to say this, and I hope I speak for my brother, Cartrell, and I think I do, when I said, may the Most High bless you. Well, we love you. May the Most High direct you and order your steps, and please get you a new thinker. And keep that thinker, preserve that thinker. And let the light of Yah keep you on the path of righteousness. And that thinker, what it should look like, oh, man, that's quite simple. Just ask for one just like King Dawood got. That'll work for you. The one you got is working against you. We love you. May the Most High bless you and direct you. Our nations, all nations, may the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Your reality every and the afternoon.